spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Golden Egg, is written by Joseph Mindell and is based on the book of the same name by Dr. Arthur D. Goldhaft, VMD, published by Horizon Press. The story is about me and Gallus Domesticus, of the phylum Caudata, of the class Aves, subclass Neonathes. Gallus Domesticus, the most efficient factory of animal protein in the world. The common hen that produces the golden egg is not always a question of which comes first, what follows. The story tells itself in its own way. I will begin with a day more than 40 years ago in Vineland, New Jersey.
Oh, thanks for the ride, Goldhaft.
Not at all, Doctor. Anytime you're going my way. You open the door by pulling down the handle.
Oh, yes, I know. Goldhaft, do you mind if I ask a personal question?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the question.
I use a horse and buggy.
Yes, you have a fine animal, Doctor.
But you drive an automobile. In fact, the first automobile in Vineland.
As I said, you're welcome to ride with me any time.
Your house is on the main street and your office is in your house. And you carry a little black bag.
Yeah, it was a present from my mother on the day I graduated.
But it's a doctor's bag.
I am a doctor.
VMD. Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. For your purposes, what good are the tiny scalpel and tweezers in that bag?
That's what I said to my mother.
What you need...
You know what she answered? She said, never mind, a doctor is a doctor.
You need instruments like carpenter's tools.
Well, naturally, a horse is bigger than a man.
A horse, exactly.
Well, if you should want me to treat your animal, I have the necessary instruments.
I don't make myself clear. You should not be the one to bring the first automobile to town. You're a horse doctor. I didn't mean that the way it sounds, Goldhaft.
It sounds all right to me. We've both had scientific training. Mine has taught me to accept a fact, even if it may be unpleasant. Doctor, the automobile is here to stay. A veterinarian who doesn't accept the fact is going to be in trouble.
Yes. Yes, I suppose so. Goldhaft, I like you. I think you would have made a good doctor. That is, an M.D.
I didn't want to be an M.D.
What?
That surprises you, huh? You think that if a man studies anatomy and physiology and bacteriology and pathology, he might better apply his knowledge to the service of human beings instead of horses and cows and sheep.
Well, right? That's one way of saying it.
Yeah, but tell me, Doctor, for whose sake do you think a veterinarian treats animals?
Well, after all, Goldhaft, there is a difference between a physician and a...
And a horse doctor. You know, there was a professor at the university who used to tell us, if you set up your office in a stable and wear filthy overalls and talk like a stable boy, then you will be treated with exactly the same respect you show for yourself and your profession.
Well, you've certainly answered my question.
Well, not entirely. There was something I heard from my father when I was a child. Or maybe I read it somewhere. About a man whose name was Rabbi Zusya of Hanapol. He said, when I die and stand up there before the heavenly tribunal, they will not ask me, why was I not Moses? They'll ask me, why was I not Zusya? I want to be able to answer the question I may be asked. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have office hours. Good night, Doctor.
Good night, Dr. Goldhaft.
Florence.
Oh, be careful, Arthur. Don't trip on the sack in the hall.
What sack? Oh! Potatoes. 50 pounds of potatoes. Mm,
a fee for services rendered. You'll be happy to know that Mother and Calf are doing well.
Florence, how many sacks of potatoes do we have in the cellar?
Well, farmers are always short of cash. Since when do I have to instruct you?
Potatoes for the horse doctor.
What's the matter with you?
Our real doctor is paid in chickens, or at least in eggs.
You're joking, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'm joking.
For a minute, I thought... Well, Arthur, I have to tell you, the veterinarian's wife is also short of cash, and there are bills.
Well, can't you pay them with potatoes?
Well, didn't Bufano pay you today?
I didn't ask him, Florence. He has a very sick cow. If it dies... Well, Bufano also has 7 children. I told him to pay me when he could. Well, now, I couldn't ask him, could I?
Oh, I guess not.
Were there any calls for me?
Now, you've been out all day. I want you to sit down and have a hot meal like
Who
any other...
Who was it, Florence?
A man needs to rest sometime.
You'll have to tell me, you know.
The Jessup farm is 10 miles out of town. Well, it's the horse. A peddler brought the message. He said it was convulsions. But I won't let you go until you've had your supper.
Florence, you know what a horse means on a farm. Oh. The farmer can't buy another one for potatoes. Oh, 10 miles.
When I cook pot roast tonight, at least let me make you a sandwich. You can eat it on the way.
No need to get out of your automobile, Doc.
I'm too late? Oh, that's too bad, Jessup. I'm sorry.
Well, it looked like a touch of colic at first.
Well, I came as soon as I could.
Then maybe it... I thought it looked like it was convulsions. I figured maybe I'd better send for you.
I'll look around for a good workhorse, Chief.
What for? Horse got over it. He's in the stall right now, eating his oats. I tell you, that horse made a darn fool out of me. But thanks for coming, Doc. Well, what's the matter? What are you looking at?
Jessup, it took me an hour to come 10 miles in the dark over what passes for a road. And it's going to take me another hour to get home.
Well, I said thanks, didn't I?
But you're going to do more than that. You're going to pay me for a call.
But you didn't do nothing.
Well, that's why I'm charging you only $3 instead of the regular $5 fee.
The horse got better by himself.
$3.
But you didn't even get out of your automobile. You're a hard man, Doc. Well... You'll have to take it in silver.
$3. Thank you. Now, I'll tell you something. I can understand your concern for your horse, but I expect you to have at least as much concern for me. And the first step is to keep in mind what every farmer knows, the difference between convulsions and a touch of colic. Good night, Jessup.
What are you waiting for, Doc?
It's the sand. The wheels don't catch.
Oh, that's too bad.
Where are you going?
Me? Oh, I got some chores to do before I turn in.
Oh, wait. You can't just leave me here.
Don't see why not. I don't know nothing about automobiles.
Well, you can help me push it out of the sand.
No use, Doc. It's in too deep.
Well, then hitch up your horse and pull me out of here.
Sure. Always glad to help a feller in trouble.
Well, don't stand there. Get moving.
Just as soon as you pay me, Doc, $3.
Pay you?
Yeah, $3. That's what I charge for pulling out automobiles.
Oh, that's highway robbery, old skinflint. Taking advantage of the situation. Why, that's blackmail. A holdup. Nobody but a bandit, a swindler, a burglar, a...
The story is not about the troubles of a country vet. I remember what I said. And if you have not yet heard about Gallus Domesticus, there is a reason. In those days, a dozen chickens might cluck and peck around the kitchen door, providing the farm wife with pin money. Few farmers raised poultry as a cash crop. And when one of these called me in, it was often to a farmyard stricken with silence.
Nothing you can do, Doc. What's left ain't worth saving.
That's the same all over. fowlpox hit hard this year.
3,000 chickens gone. Every penny I had was in that flock. What do I do now?
Well, maybe the bank.
Bank. Borrow money. Start again. A man would have to be crazy.
Well, it's a risk, but maybe next year the fowlpox...
Fowlpox. Calling it fancy names won't help. It's Roop. And you know it. Everybody knows it. Roop comes every year, every October.
Well, it doesn't always kill.
No, it doesn't have to. Just lasts from October to spring. And if the hens don't die, egg production goes down to practically nothing anyway. I tell you, Doc, a man has to be crazy.
A man has to do the work he knows best. Now, you're a farmer.
There's no law that says I have to be a poultry farmer.
Well, do you think it's easy for any other kind here in Vineland? Here, now, take a handful of soil. Go on, rub it in your fingers.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, Doc. It's not much good for anything.
It's good enough for poultry.
Sure, if the chickens don't get tapeworms or gaps or cholera or roup.
Oh, be reasonable. What do you want, a guarantee?
No, Doctor, I only want the chance. Look, you're a vet. You tell me what to do the next time fowlpox hits. Well, go on. Tell me.
I can't. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Oh, it's late, Arthur.
Look, in all these books, not
How
one...
How much longer are you going to stay up with those books?
In all of veterinary medicine, there's practically nothing on diseases of poultry. Can you imagine?
I can. But maybe it's easier for me than for you.
Florence, how would you like to take a ride to Philadelphia tomorrow?
You jump from one thing to another. Now, what would I do there?
Oh, whatever you like. Do some shopping.
Shopping? There's not much you can buy in Philadelphia for potatoes.
Well, window shopping is free. I'll be at the University of Pennsylvania talking to some professors.
Well, at least you didn't come home empty-handed.
Oh, these agricultural journals. I borrowed them at the university.
Oh, the professors don't know enough?
About poultry. Poultry, they know very little. Would you believe it, Florence? There are only two men in the United States who specialize in poultry diseases.
I believe it. Why should anybody bother with chickens?
Why? Well, around Vineland alone, there are dozens of farmers who depend for their living on chickens.
Now, you don't have to get excited, Arthur.
Farmers who can only hope that fowlpox won't wipe out all their labor. Look, Florence, this article in the journal by one of those two men, he says he's made a vaccine against fowlpox.
That's nice.
You don't understand.
Well, of course I do. That means he can cure it.
No, just as we can't cure smallpox in people. But we can give immunity against the disease by vaccination.
Oh, now I understand.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
No. Well, then I'm all confused.
Florence, I'm going to make this fowlpox vaccine.
Well, don't look at me as if you expect an argument. Arthur, I married you, not your profession. And I don't have to like your patients. If that's what you have to do, then go ahead and make your fowlpox vaccine.
About the vaccine. What do you say, Jessup?
No hard feelings, Doc? You know, my horse and your automobile?
No hard feelings. The vaccine?
Sure, I'm all for it. But first, I want to know, what'll it cost me?
Right now, nothing.
I don't get it.
My vaccine is experimental. It won't hurt your chickens, but I don't know if it'll protect them against fowlpox. Now, you let me vaccinate 95% of your flock.
Well, no sense in leaving out a few.
No. That 5% is important. If they get the disease and the others don't, then we know the vaccine works. Well, Jessup?
Doc, I expect some people say I'm a tight man with a dollar.
Well, now...
Maybe so. Doc, you give my flock protection against fowlpox, and I'll pay you a quarter for every chicken.
Okay, that's fine, but not yet. I'll inject the vaccine, and then we'll wait, Jessup. We'll wait until October.
All that summer, I drove around Vineland in my Model T, tending ailing cows and horses with colic. But every day through the heat of July and August into the first cool weeks of September, I stopped on the roads beside the farm fences and enjoyed the foolish cackling of the hens. Gallus domesticus and I rejoiced in the summer and waited for October. And October came with fearful, familiar silence.
It could happen to anyone, Arthur. It's hard to follow directions exactly.
I made the vaccine exactly according to the article in the journal. Florence, it just doesn't work.
Oh, now, when a cook blames the recipe...
And I'm going to find out why.
Then you're not finished with it?
I'm afraid you'll have to put up with chickens for a while longer. I'm going to make a vaccine that works. Jessup, Profano, Miller, two, three others. They've agreed to try the new vaccine.
Now, Arthur, don't misunderstand me.
Out of the water, Florence. Will you turn it off? Thanks. I have to make a big batch.
Will you listen to me, Arthur?
I hear every word.
I wonder if you realize how much time you're spending on this vaccine.
Well, sure I do. People are beginning to call me the chicken doctor. Well, I can't help what people say. Besides, chickens are important.
You're sure this is what you want?
How can I be sure? A farmer once called me when he was in trouble. If I'm a chicken doctor, it's by accident. Now, my mother used to tell me... No, I remember this myself. When I was a boy, I didn't mind too much being sick. Because then I used to get chicken soup.
Of course. All the strength of the chicken goes into the soup.
On the farms and the cities, chicken is still a luxury. It doesn't have to be that way, Florence. Not if poultry farming can be made less risky. Not if fowlpox can be controlled by a vaccine. You gave me too much money, Jessup.
I don't make that kind of a mistake, Doc.
All the same, take this.
Nope. We made a bargain. A quarter for every chicken that didn't get the sickness. That's pretty near every chicken you give the vaccine to.
A quarter of chicken is too much for the work involved.
That 5% you didn't vaccinate. I saw what happened to them. Doc, a dead chicken ain't worth nothing. You keep the money. I ain't complaining.
I know, but I'm letting the price down. Now here.
Doc, I figure you know what you're doing. Thanks. Evening, ma'am.
Good night, Mr. Jessup.
Florence, I can't take $25 for the few hours it took me to vaccinate his flock.
I didn't say anything, Arthur.
But Jessup probably thinks I'm a fool.
Maybe he does. But I figure you know what you're doing.
I have no wish to exaggerate. It's good to be paid with money rather than with potatoes, even then. 30 years ago, more. And farmers were willing to pay for the fowlpox vaccine. But I wanted more.
This is your job. I'm not a vet.
Look, they're your chickens. Now, here's the vaccine, and here's everything you need to apply it. Hey, catch that bird. Now, I'll show you how to brush on the vaccine. There, that's all.
Well, it looks easy enough.
Well, that's what I told you.
Doc, if you don't mind my asking, what's in it for you?
Well, for one thing, you can't make the vaccine now, can you?
Oh, I guess not.
Well, there you are. Besides, my mother used to say, if you're a doctor for animals or for people, don't come too often. Tell them what to do by themselves.
What's the meeting for, Doc? You got a new vaccine?
It's true. I'm working on laryngotracheitis, but...
What?
All right. GAPS, as you call it. And also a vaccine against fowl cholera and something for tapeworm. But that's not why I asked you to meet with me today.
You just put up a new laboratory building, Doctor, and if you're short of cash...
Chicken farmer offering to lend money. Well, now that shows how far we've come. Oh, thanks. It isn't that... There's a lot to be done. I'm a practicing vet, not a trained research man.
You're doing all right, as far as we're concerned, Doc.
I'm glad, but it's not enough. There's still too many risks in poultry farming. Too much we can't control. Cholera, gabs.
I took half my chickens last year.
Yeah, and tapeworm. How much did you spend last year for patent remedies that don't work?
Well...
We need organized, systematic research. We have to get the state to set up a poultry experimental station. Maybe right here in Vineland.
That sounds good, Doc. We're with you.
Yeah, right along with that.
You have it wrong, Jessup. I'm with you. This is a job for all of us.
Say, Doc, do you mind answering another question?
No, I don't mind.
What makes you so crazy about chickens?
Gallus domesticus is a bird that lacks dignity. Creature that is, in fact, somewhat ridiculous when alone and entirely foolish in large numbers. Then you will understand that a chicken doctor must have, more than most men, an extra portion of enthusiasm. It is an old enthusiasm shared, for example, almost 400 years ago by King Henry IV of France.
If God grants me the usual length of life, I hope to make France so prosperous that every peasant will have a chicken in his pot on Sunday.
Only 25 years ago, a president of the United States expressed the same hope in almost the same words. But in the 25 years since then, poultry farming has become an industry and one of the largest sources of farm income in the country. And the whole world has come to respect Gallus domesticus and her golden egg. In 1951, I was appointed by the State Department as a delegate to the World Poultry Congress. During this period, I met with the Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO, of the United Nations, and often since then with the Ministries of Agriculture of Israel and other countries. For in the years of one generation, what changes? Chicken is no longer for invalids. Chicken not only on Sunday, but every day.
My dear Goldhap, you allow yourself to be carried away.
You think so?
Hmm.
Doctor, you drive around Vineland a good deal, don't you?
Naturally. My practice is largely rural.
And tell me, when you go past the poultry farms, what do you see?
Oh, come now, Goldhap.
No, what do you see?
Chickens, of course. Thousands of them, don't you?
I see living things that sometimes sicken and die. Doctor, I am commanded not only to avoid inflicting pain on any animal, but also to relieve pain if I can. As it is written in the psalm, God's tender mercies are over all his creatures. All his creatures, Doctor.
You take me too seriously, Goldhaft.
Do I? I'll tell you something else. As a scientist, I see each chicken as a factory of animal protein, the most efficient protein factory in the world. And this is reason for hope.
There, you see. You're talking like a missionary. A missionary of the chickens.
Use whatever words you like, Doctor, but understand what I am saying. Half the people in the world live on grain of some kind. Even when there is no famine, they suffer from a deficiency of animal protein. And their hunger has nourished for centuries the tensions of the world. Look again, Doctor. Maybe you will see what I see. The hope of feeding those who are hungry. The story, I said, is about me and Gallus domesticus. If I'm sometimes carried away, it is never so far as to forget how close to the earth we both must remain. But I remember they will not ask, why was I not Moses? I know what the question will be, and I hope that there is a golden answer. in all the days of my years.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Lewis W. Jones, president of Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Dr. Jones.
The inspiring story that you have just heard pays a splendid tribute, and one in which I am happy to join, to Dr. Arthur Goldhaft, one of our state's most distinguished citizens. All of us at the university take pride in the fact that this volume is dedicated to one of our own faculty members, the late Dr. Fred R. Baudette. Like Dr. Goldhaft, Dr. Baudette was one of the early poultry scientists, and the two men made tremendous contributions to the growth of the $100 million New Jersey poultry industry. Dr. Goldhaft's book, The Golden Egg, is a fascinating human story, as well as a description of the working life of a pioneer veterinary scientist. There is inspiration for all of us in the struggle of the Goldhaft family through the hard environment of an immigrant family at the turn of the century. There is food for thought, too, in the determination with which this young man battled to secure the education which was to prepare him for a distinguished career. The story of the accumulation of knowledge of poultry science also furnishes an excellent example of the dependence which all pursuits have upon research and new knowledge. In that function, of course, Rutgers has had a leading part, not only for the poultry industry, but in all the areas of research that are embodied in a great state university. As Dr. Goldhaft's book and his very career bring out so clearly, this search for new knowledge, for fundamental information, as well as for practical accomplishments, is one that must be encouraged and expanded in every scientific discipline and in the social sciences as well. We owe Dr. Goldhaft our gratitude, I believe, for writing a book which can yield pleasure and inspiration in equal measure. This program today, saluting him both as an individual and as a scientist, is one in which I am happy to have been invited to take part.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Our eternal light drama today, The Golden Egg, was written by Joseph Mindell and was based on the book of the same name by Dr. Arthur D. Goldhaft, VMD, and published by Horizon Press. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Alan Bergman and Santos Ortega. Others were Diana Barth, Ralph Camargo, Leslie Barrett, Guy Sorrell, Edwin Cooper, and Roger DeCoven. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by George Voutsos. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.